We welcome you to our worship service this morning, the second Sunday in Advent. Are there any announcements for today?
This is just a quick invitation, sort of. Our Bible study group on Wednesday that Bill led is finished for the year, and we'll be starting up another one in spring. But I noticed that very interesting thing in your bulletin is a presentation by Pastor Don Wiesner on the Reformation, unfinished Reformation. And given, if you read the description of that, it could be a very helpful thing for us to kind of catch up on before our new pastor comes in. And I wanted to let everyone know that if you'd like to attend this and you aren't sure where the senior center is, or if you need transportation, I'm going to be here at a quarter till nine on Wednesday morning, and would be happy to take anyone down there that isn't familiar with the location or thinks they're not a senior, or they are a senior and they've never been there. I think it could be a very useful thing to learn more about at this particular time. Thank you.
So there was a little bit of a mix-up, and there is an announcement not in your bulletins. This Wednesday, starting at 5, we will decorate cookies, sugar cookies, and then we will have pizza. And at 6 o'clock, we move over and we go caroling at American Lutheran Home and Autumn Village. If you are interested in joining the youth in doing that, our Christ Time kids are coming. Yes? No? Yes? And all of our youth are going, and everyone is invited to come. And if you don't want to decorate cookies and you just want to come for caroling, that's okay, too. Just show up at about 6, and we'll all walk over together. If or you want, you could bring cookies. We are looking for just plain sugar cookies that the kids can decorate. Thanks.
Please rise.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our gathering song is number 239. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God, seeking forgiveness and life. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruit of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share the peace of Christ that we have through his forgiveness with one another.
Are you going to do the chanting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want a note?
Just a note will get me going.
Just this A here. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, jeez, I've got the check.
Yeah. Peace be with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peace be with you, Josie. Peace be with you, Michael.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with
peace
you.
Be with you, Leonard. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Gordy. Peace be with you, Ken. Peace be with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We'll have the lighting of the Advent wreath. push it. Okay. It's stuck. We're having some technical difficulties. Lighting the second Advent candle. It's waiting, preparation, joy, and light. Advent is a time of waiting. We light the first candle to remind us that we are waiting for God to come. The first candle is lit. Advent is also a time of preparation. We decorate, shop, and bake to get ready for Christmas. We also prepare ourselves for Jesus to come by reading his story, by praying and singing, and by sharing with others. We light the second candle to remind us to prepare. And the second candle is lit. From Mark 1, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my message ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Let us pray. God of peace, we look forward to the time when the earth is full of your glory, when righteousness is at home and peace reigns in all the world. May we prepare for that day by working together for justice and peace. Amen. Please join us in singing verses 1 and 2 of Light One Candle, number 240.
Good morning. The first reading is from Isaiah 41 through 11. "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 85, 1, 2, 8 through 13. You have been gracious to your land, O Lord. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you. Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase. The second reading, 2 Peter 3, 8 through 15. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt the fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for the new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise.
Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. Congregation may be seated. We invite the children to come forward. morning. We're going to pretend today. You like to pretend? We're going to pretend that we're before the time when Jesus was born. Okay? That's a long time ago, right? And we're going to take a little journey. We're going to take a little trip. And I put a sign up over there. You can't see it, but it says, the temple in the city of Jerusalem. And that's where we're at, okay? And we're going to imagine that there's an old man standing here, and his name is Zechariah. And he's like the pastor. Back then they called him a priest, and we'll talk about him more later. But now we're going to take a trip around part of the world to see what's going on while Zechariah is in here in the temple praying to God. Okay, you ready? You got your sandals on for the walk? Because we'll be walking in the desert and the sand and stuff. Well, anyway, let's go. Okay. The first place that we come to, and we'll imagine this is a stable. And we take a peek inside, and what do you see? Anybody, what do you see? What is this? A manger, and what's inside of it?
Food.
There's food in there? Not much, right? It's kind of empty. There's just nothing in there. So we'll sort of keep in mind, there is a manger, but it's empty because who hasn't been born? Jesus hasn't been born yet, right? So, okay, let's go to another place. And what do we see here? Okay, a sign that says Bethlehem. And so the stable was kind of out in the country a little bit. And it's close to a town called Bethlehem. But we're going to have to imagine what Bethlehem looked like, right? Okay, let's go. Let's go a little farther. And we're walking up the hills. And what do we see here? We've got some beautiful hills here, right? And these are sheep. Have you ever seen a sheep that looked like that? Well, good. Well, anyway, those are sheep on a hillside. Now, they're just doing what they usually do, right? They're not worried about nothing, and nothing special is happening in their life yet. But we'll be next Sunday, you're going to tell us about what happens with those sheep, right? Okay, let's go. We're going for a long distance. And now we're walking, we're getting out in the desert. And the sand is hot on our feet, right? And so we're walking along, and we're starting to get thirsty. And so we stop over here and maybe see if we can get ourselves a drink. Because we're thirsty, right, after walking in the hot sand. Okay, come on, let's go a little farther. And what do we see here? A sign. And what does the sign say? In the east? Far away. And what do you suppose is happening in the east, far away? There are some people, and they look like they're getting some stuff ready. They got their camels, and they're putting some water, getting ready to put big jugs of water on their camels so when they're traveling in the wilderness, the desert that we just walked on, that they'll have plenty of water. And they're also getting some gifts together. And what do you think the gifts were? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wow, those are pretty precious gifts. They're getting them all together, and we stop and tap them on the shoulder, and we say, what are you doing? And they say, well, we've heard about there's a star, a special star, and we don't know what it is, but we're going to follow it. And it might lead us to a place where a king is born, somebody really special. So we'll let the wise men there. And in a couple of weeks, we'll see where they're at then. on their journey, how close to Jerusalem they've gotten. Okay? Let's go back to Jerusalem. You remember what we're going to find in Jerusalem in the temple? Old man. What's his name?
Zechariah.
Zechariah was an old man, and his wife Elizabeth was pretty old too. And they didn't have any children. And they felt really bad about that. But there wasn't anything they could do about it. So, let's imagine that we're in church then, and you're all going to stand around here. You're standing and watch, because they didn't have places to sit in church back then. They all had to stand. And Zechariah's in front, and maybe he's got his hands up like this, and he's praying to God for the people. That's what he did every day. And while Zechariah's standing there, all of a sudden he sees something. And what does he see? He sees an angel. But I don't think anybody else saw it, just Zechariah. And the angel says to him, Zechariah, your wife's going to have a baby. And she's really, really old. And Zechariah says, oh, I don't believe you. And the angel says, well, I'm going to prove it to you. From now on, you're not going to be able to say a word until that baby's born. And anybody know what his name is? Not quite.
Jesus.
No, not Zechariah's baby. His name is called John. And later he's going to be called John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. And we're going to hear just a little bit about him in just a while after you sit down. So Zechariah is up here praying to God. And then the people are waiting for Zechariah to tell them that they can go, that he's done praying. And finally he turns around to tell them, and he opens his mouth and nothing. He can't say a word. And so he's got to kind of shoo the people out of the temple so they know that they can leave then. And he doesn't say a word for 9 months until the baby's born. And then Zechariah finally says, they all wanted to give him a name. And Zechariah says, his name shall be
John.
Wow. He was pretty excited. And the whole family was. Okay, you can go back. And now we're going to talk about this John the Baptist. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning I was listening to the one radio station where they play all Christmas songs. And they had a show on by Casey Kasem and the top, I don't know, whatever, Christmas songs. And number 52, I think it was Joy to the World. Number 52 out of all the Christmas songs. Just one ahead of Snoopy and the Red Baron. And Here Comes Santa Claus came after it, but that was... So let's imagine. No, we're not going to imagine. This is for real. 30 to 40 years after Jesus had gone back into heaven, the Christians had a very, well, their Bible was a lot smaller. They had this part, the Old Testament. 39 books. Took up a lot of space. It was two-thirds about the size of the Bible that we use. Okay, that's all. You know, they had that. And this is like in the 60s A.D. And they also had some books that were written by the Apostle Paul. Some letters, which are also called epistles. Letters that Paul wrote. But they didn't have anything that told them the story of Jesus. Can you imagine that? For 40 years after Jesus had left this earth, And so how did people find out about Jesus? Well, Christians had to tell one another. They had to tell the facts, the story, as they remembered it, as it had been told to them. And so they kept passing on the story, and finally there was one man who decided, let's write something down about Jesus. And it's interesting how he wrote the story about Jesus. It turns out to be the shortest of the Gospels. And in the Gospel, this writer always has Jesus doing everything in a hurry. And he keeps using the word, and immediately, Jesus went from there to there to there, or did this or did that. The name of the man, at least the name we give to the book, is Mark. And Mark, we don't know for sure, Mark could have been a follower of the Apostle Paul, or Peter. And so whatever he learned about Jesus, that he would have learned a lot of that from Peter, who had been one of Jesus' disciples. If it's the same John Mark, there was a John Mark it talked about in the Bible who went on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. But then after they had been gone a few months, this John Mark got homesick and went back home. And when the Apostle Paul was going to make his second journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark along with them, and Paul said, nope, no way. And so he even didn't go with Barnabas. He went with another man named Silas on his other journeys then. But it could have been that same John Mark who then became Peter's disciple. And he's the one who wrote down the first gospel. But what does he start? Where does he start in telling us about Jesus' life? He doesn't start with the birth. He doesn't start with Jesus' genealogy. That comes later when Matthew and Luke tell those stories. But rather, Mark starts out when Jesus is in his 30s. And John the Baptist, the one we just heard about, John the Baptist, his cousin, was out with his ministry, and he was calling people to come to follow him, to see him. In the strangest of places, he called them to come out into the wilderness on the other side of the Jordan River, which is a strange place if you want people to come. I'm sure when this church started, the pastor who was here first, well, I don't know, didn't go out in the middle of the country and say, hey, everybody who wants to form a Lutheran church, come here out in the country and listen to me and we'll talk about it. Probably. Where did this congregation start? In the country or in town? Anybody remember? Our Savior started it in town, but they were in town and this one started in town as well. Okay. Starting a congregation today makes much more sense to do it in town. In town, you've got lots of people. In town, you've got lots of things going on. In town, you've got plenty of food. You've got plenty of stuff to do, plenty to drink. And, you know, it's just strange that John the Baptist went out in the wilderness. And what did he call them to do? When they came out there, he didn't say to them, boy, you people have sacrificed a lot by making that long journey out here where I am. But rather he said to them, you all need to repent. You all need to repent of your sin. And what is offered to you is the forgiveness in that baptism. Does that apply to us today? Or are we so far, far, far from that repentance doesn't need to be talked about anymore? After all, we're all good Christians here. We all get along with each other. Our lives flow by so smoothly. We've really got this being a Christian down solid. Somehow I doubt it. Somehow I think that same word applies to every one of us. John the Baptist, to be sure, at one point he pointed his fingers at the scribes and the Pharisees, and he called them whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but in the inside, you're empty. There's nothing to your faith. But other than that, he called everybody to come to him, and he addressed them all the same. You need to repent and ask for forgiveness. When we start out our worship service each Sunday, we begin with a confession of sins. And we don't begin with a confession of so-and-so's sins that we know about. But rather we confessed, no. In confirmation class, I don't know, well, anyway. In confirmation class the other night, I was talking about evil in our world, and evil right here inside the room. And I asked the question, is there evil right here inside the room? And one of the wiser students pointed his finger at me and said, right there. And I said, well, I thought I had done a better job of hiding it, but I guess I hadn't. Because that's where it starts. And the offer of forgiveness is the beginning of the good news, the gospel that Jesus brings. Because it's only in reckoning with the fact that sin begins here that we can understand what's going on in the world. That we can understand what's going on in our lives. Because so much of it doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, it is these days that the sins of people are being splashed all over the place in public. These were people that we wanted to trust in. These were people that we wanted to look up to as our examples. And to find there's a lot of stuff that's been hidden. But if we go into it with the attitude of realizing, okay, that's something that they're dealing with in their life and will have to deal with for the rest of their lives. The struggles that I have inside of me may not be public yet, but I struggle with them every day of my life. The Apostle Paul says, you know, the good that I want to do, I find myself not doing. The evil that I want to avoid, I find myself doing. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body that's leading me to death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Was he born because everything was going so well in the world and that he came almost like to put a little cherry on top of our ice cream? No. But rather, Jesus came into this world because in our lives there's a lot of mess. There's a lot of stuff we don't want other people to know about, right? Stuff that's going on behind closed doors that affects us or affects our family. Or there are the losses, the scars that we have been added on over the years. And it was because of that that Jesus came to tell us, I know what's going on inside of you. I know where you hurt on the inside. And I come to offer you my mercy, my grace, my love. And that's the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. The end of it in Mark winds up with Jesus having arisen, but not having appeared to anyone yet. And the women have been told to go out and tell his disciples that Jesus is alive. And that's where we are. We're the ones who have heard that word, not just passed down from one Christian to another but we've been fortunate to have been able to read it, to see it for all these years. But we get the same joy they had, the joy of being able to tell everybody else. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Amen. May the peace of God, which goes far beyond our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us rise and join in singing our next hymn.
Join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us give thanks to God with our offering. merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory, through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Amen.
Guided by the light of Christ, let us pray for the coming dawn of joy, healing, and comfort for all God's people. We long to see your glory. Prepare our hearts for your arrival by healing divisions in your church and blessing those who work for reconciliation within it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for your creation. Bring renewal to open spaces, parks, forests, mountains, and grasslands. Restore the creatures and lands that are damaged or destroyed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We long for your peace. Make places of welcome for people fleeing violence, for nations facing conflict or crisis. Deliver relief. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We seek healing for all people who long for justice, freedom, and comfort. Sustain them in their time of need. Be with all who wait for you, who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Especially Maxine Cole, David Estevet, Kathy Falk, Lexan Groh, Phyllis Hansen, Gordon and Carolyn Hemming, Pat Johnson, Julie Larson, Lavera Larson, Maxine Larson, Ray Millett, Sandy Neverdahl, Dale Schmitz, Sean Sterry, Lavone Swanson, Libby Wallace, Sam Zander, the family of Audrey Iseth, our companion congregation in Malawi, Malacca Parish, and Abusa Francis, all those who serve in our military and their families, and all our members and friends residing in care facilities or confined to their homes. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for those who are ready to help in times of crisis. Give courage to disaster and emergency response teams, police officers, nurses, doctors, surgeons, chaplains, and all who work for the sake of others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We are your beloved flock. You are our shepherd, O God. Along with the saints already at rest in you, bring us together as your people under your holy rule. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We raise our prayers to you, O God, in the name of the one who is, who was, and who is to come, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Like children in the arms of Jesus, receive blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Our sending song is number 242.